Thank you for taking the time to listen to this urgent message. One thing we have an overabundance of in this nation is confusion. We have doctrines and deities, mythologies and philosophies, and a melting pot of genealogies. Amidst this great mixture of people gathered from all the nations is a common catastrophe looming over the horizon. Judgment. The judgment of Babylon. Let's begin clearing up the confusion with a quick definition of the title Babylon. It simply means confusion. In this one-hour presentation, I will provide the information and references for the listener to undertake their own investigation. It is irrelevant who the messenger is, because you will be given the tools to hammer at the message. The message is not a pleasant one, but the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom this message was sent, is merciful and gracious in warning his people. You will find during this coming peril that this warning will come in very handy. Let's start out by defining the ultimate tool for the job. The King James Holy Bible, the inerrant, inspired, and perfectly preserved Word of the Living God, translated by the Holy Ghost from the Antiochian manuscripts, from Codex to Papyri, to Moses on Mount Sinai, watching the Lord right on the mountain with his own finger, the Ten Commandments. This is the only English book on earth which is 100% truth and was written outside of linear time. If anyone stopped listening to the vain babblings of devils and men and read this book for themselves, they would know it to be true. I have challenged this book on several occasions, and it's beat me every time. I got a little tired of the humiliation, and I pretty much just quit trying. Now then, grab yourself a King James Bible and test what I'm about to tell you. See for yourself if these things be true. You don't need any man to do your thinking for you. For those of you with familiar spirits, you'll want to have them take a hike as well. This is between you and your Creator. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Ecclesiastes 3:15. Nimrod's Babylonia was a nation. Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonia was a nation. The United States of Babylonia is a nation. Now, if America is indeed the Babylon, we should find Old Lady Liberty in the Bible here or there. And that we do. Isaiah 47, she's the daughter of Babylon, daughter of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah 50 and 51, she's the hindermost of the nations. Isaiah 30, she is the daughter of Egypt. Ezekiel 38, she is the land of unwalled villages. Revelation 17, she is the woman that rides the beast. Revelation 18, she is Babylon, that great city. New York is her capital city. New York is that great city. America is the only nation that fits all criteria in these and other scriptures. Economically, allegorically, geographically, and literally, Lady Liberty is the daughter of Babylon. Throughout the remainder of the CD, we'll be going through all the criteria to establish these facts. For now, I'm going to read to you Isaiah chapter 47. Sit back, listen, see if anything sounds familiar. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of the Kingdom. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke, and thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, None seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so, thou shalt be able to profit. If so, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter.
Every one to his quarter.
None shall save thee.
None shall save thee. None shall save thee.
The entire chapter 47 of Isaiah. That is a direct reference to the United States of America from the Lord of Hosts. Now, one of the things I want to discuss is what is going on today in America. Well, the date is 6/27/2002. Not even a year since the tragic 9/11 event occurred, which was a direct warning. A direct warning shot across the bow to let America know that if she does not repent, she will be judged. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, since that day, has America repented? Has America humbled herself? Has she turned her face toward God? Well, let's take a look. We see a lot of generic God Bless America signs up. Really? Well, let's look at the heart of the nation. We're still murdering over 3,000 babies per day. Sodomy is still being practiced and glorified publicly. Witchcraft and the occult is encouraged and taught amongst the children that we don't slaughter. And if these surviving children become unruly, they're drugged into submission. I don't think we're repenting. In fact, I think this is increasing. For the first time in a decade, CNN announced this week the American national crime rate for violent crimes is up 3.1%. And yesterday's newspaper I just read, a three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the phrase, under God, makes the Pledge of Allegiance unconstitutional. The ruling came from a Sacramento, California area case. So it doesn't look like we've turned our face toward God either. Has America humbled herself? Well, I see a lot of proud to be an American bumper stickers and signs. Proud to be an American, or at least I think I'm free. And how about the power of pride? Pride. When did the American people forget that the Lord hates pride? And yet we see it everywhere. We're the most proud. Turning to Jeremiah chapter 50, another direct reference to the daughter of Babylon. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about. Truthfully, I am not proud to be an American. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. For this segment, we're going to talk about beasts and seals. Let's look at some key players and events in chapter 7 of Daniel and chapter 6 of Revelation. These two chapters run parallel, as does the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go hand in glove. Now, after we define the players, we'll see how these relate to Gog, the land of Magog, in Ezekiel 38. Many pastors and preachers know of this coming great battle of Gog against Israel, and Gog will lose. They will be driven back, and all but a sixth of their forces will remain. But do they also know that America's destruction is at the same time? Well, you will in just a few minutes. Daniel 7, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. The lion is England. The eagle's wings is America, born of England. What is the national beast of England? It is and has been the lion. It's on their crests. It's in Trafalgar Square. It's on the edge of my Cambridge Bible, made in England. What is the national beast of America? It's the bald eagle. Now, who's going to pluck America out of the vision? The fifth verse in the seventh chapter of Daniel says, And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Easy question. Which nation on earth, as its national beast, is the bear? Russia. Gog, the land of Magog.
The Soviet Union will be pleased to offer amnesty to your wayward vassal.
The Soviet Union?
I thought you guys broke up.
Yes, that's what we wanted you to think.
Watch, because that it will happen. The bear has become enormous, and the bear is in cahoots with the Arab countries.
Indeed. Now let's compare the first two beasts with the opening of the seals in Revelation 6. Revelation 6:2 says, And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The first seal has been opened for some time now. When God translated his English Bible back in 1611, the British conquerors took that Bible with them. And then they gave birth to lion cubs across the globe. It was once declared that the sun never sets on the British Empire. One of the lion cubs has the wings of an eagle, and that is America. And they are about to be plucked by the soon-to-be-opened second seal via the bear. In regards to the first seal, remember, America gave birth to the United Nations. The headquarters for the UN is in New York City. And one of the statues outside the UN building is a rider on a horse with a bow in his hand. Even stranger, the arrow is missing or has been taken from the rider's hand. Which takes us to the second seal in Revelation 6. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. This event is right around the corner, and is also described in Ezekiel 38. Before we compare the future events in Ezekiel 38 to the opening of the second seal, a footnote to understanding the timing factor of the seals to follow. I want you to do some research, ask any woman who's had a baby as to the timing between birth pangs. The birth process in general is a very important parable. For Jesus says, A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And important for today's events, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, For when they shall say, Peace and safety, peace and security, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1948, pang, Israel is given their land back. 1967, pang, Israel secures Jerusalem. Folks, we need to watch and support Israel. They have the decreed right to that land, straight from the Lord of Hosts. If you've been watching the news lately, you've noticed that some fuss is being made betwixt Israel and Palestine. And the Palestinians and their Arab allies, plus Gog, Russia, are preparing to attack Israel en masse, which is the theme of Ezekiel 38-39. We Americans need to pay close attention to Ezekiel 38 because we're in it. As the land of unwalled villages. The difference between the U.S. and Israel is that Israel will be standing when the smoke clears, and America's borders will be burned, and her farmlands will be looted and pillaged in the midst of her. The Lord addresses Gog, Ezekiel 38:10-13. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey. To turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Footnote. All the so forth begat so on, and this guy begat that guy, may seem incredibly boring when reading the Bible, but every word is in there for a reason. Those genealogies are precisely how we track who settled in what land, and what nation was born of who. Keeping that in mind, here is the street exegesis of Ezekiel 38:10-13. What's going to happen is, when the Russian bear and its Arab and red buddies gang up to pick on Israel, at the same time, they're going to spring up inside the U.S., causing revolution and robbing a bunch of mixed-up folks in America that are too busy eating at Ryan's Steakhouse and watching their TVs to see it coming. Then, some shock nations, England, Canada, Australia, to name a few, will ask the Red Bear Gang, What are you doing to America? The prophet Jeremiah also wrote of this occurrence in chapter 51. The Lord of Hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. I'd advise reading the entire book of Jeremiah. History is about to repeat itself, and that book holds many of the answers to what's going to befall this nation. two very important chapters, Jeremiah 50 and 51. Who's it addressing? Verse 33 in chapter 51 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come." Who is she? The daughter of Babylon, the daughter of Chaldea, Lady Liberty. "Thou hast shackled thy children with iniquity. United thou wilt fall when the Lord visits thee." I'm going to do a quick tour through Jeremiah 50 and 51. We'll see the plans of attack. "Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there shall come up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast." Also in verse 9, "For lo, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her." Verse 3 says, "There cometh up a nation against her," and verse 9 says, "Up against Babylon, an assembly of great nations." Something to note here. Verse 3 says, "a nation." Verse 9 says, "an assembly of great nations." Well, it's not a contradiction. There are no contradictions. Both are true. Anytime you come across something like this, both are true. Let me explain. Russia was a nation. And now, they are an assembly of great nations, because verse 9 says, "an assembly of great nations from the north country." That is precisely what happened to Russia. They split into different republics, but they still have the same agenda. All of them and their communist and Arab allies. Destroy America. And the scripture continues, "And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty, expert man. None shall return in vain." Their arrows shall be as of a mighty, expert man. None shall return in vain. None shall return in vain. Guidance systems on missiles are very accurate, especially Russian missiles. Why us? "Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage. Because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bore you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land and a desert." America is the only nation on earth that qualifies in these scriptures. It's the hindermost of the nations. When the prophet Jeremiah was looking forward at the daughter of Babylon, he declared it to be the youngest nation amongst multiple nations toward the end of time. America is only a couple of centuries old, and the day of the Lord is close at hand. The New World Order of all nations that will arise from America's ashes, it is an altogether different beast that we do not have time to expound upon this CD. Another important parameter only America qualifies for: your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bore you shall be ashamed. America is the only nation that has a mother that's still around to witness this event. England will witness her daughter's judgment, as will her other young lions mentioned in Ezekiel 38. "Because of the wrath of the Lord it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues." Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about. All ye that bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. The prophet Jeremiah is exposing the other pieces on the chessboard: the destruction of America's borders from the coastlines. Not only will her unwalled villages in the midst of the land be pillaged, but her borders and the great cities thereon will be utterly burned with weapons of mass destruction. And the wise folks in the cities and villages still standing, they'll return to their own native lands. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found, and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her works, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. The last verse in chapter 50 says, At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. We're going to quickly go over some key verses in chapter 51, then we're going to move on to the book of Revelation. Here's verse 7. Try to commit this one to memory. It's going to make an appearance in Revelation 17. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Very important verse. Going down to 13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Verse 25, Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. Going all the way down to verse 53, Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. The Bible mentions three heavens, plural. The first heaven is the air where the birds fly. The second heaven is outer space. The third heaven is extra-dimensional and where the Lord sits. Now, for the first time in all of Earth's history is an army able to mount up to heaven. We have jet airplanes, and we're even mounting up in outer space. The scripture defines the time period and America's power literally. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. Who's the whore in Revelation 17? Verse 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Ah, remember, Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. On to verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Scarlet is the color for royalty, dominion, principality, ruler, or king. The beast is the UN world governance that dominates the seven mountains, continents, and seven seas. The 10 horns are possibly the 10 regions that the UN territories are divided into and the ruling principalities. America initiated the UN, and the UN's headquarters is located in the capital city of the nation of Babylon. It is New York City, Babylon, that great city. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The woman is the mystery. The mystery is Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great is that great city, and it is New York, the UN-headquartered capital city of Babylon the nation, America. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Before the word continent was added to the English vocabulary, the word mountain also defined a continent. There are seven continents on earth, there are seven seas, and there are seven colors in the light spectrum, etc. The Lord seems to have his number seven on quite a few things. Verse 15, And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. We've really chosen an excellent symbol for this nation, the Statue of Liberty. The seven horns on Lady Liberty's crown represent the seven continents and the seven seas. The Statue of Liberty is not an original symbol. It goes all the way back to the mystery religions of Babylon, the goddess Isis, queen of Babylon, to the goddess Libertos, goddess of liberty, and the goddess of reason. Moving to verse 16, And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. America is that whore, the woman that rides the beast. In one day she will burn. Verse 17, For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The nations will sacrifice their sovereignty for order in exchange for chaos from the peace that was taken from the earth. It takes us to the last verse in chapter 17. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Which takes us to chapter 18 of Revelation, the judgment of Babylon the city, New York City, the economic capital of the world. Revelation 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour is so great riches come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth.
For 1 hour is so great riches come to naught.